the importance of religion in Caesar's life and in his work. Could you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I think there's so many aspects to it. You know, it began and ended in a way with his deep Catholic faith and belief, beliefs he got there from the church and from his mother especially, and making it a lifestyle, making it a way of life. You know, he then, and even within their teachings, he liked to make the teachings into reality. And so he was very good at mixing that and made that part of his life. In fact, I remember once a group from, every once in a while, the State Department would have groups from different countries coming through, and they'd ask if they could bring a group, 20, 30 people from around the world to meet with him. They would ask. And one time there was this group meeting with him at La Paz, and one of them asked, you know, in Europe, everybody's like, you have a title for what your politics are. Everybody's politics are, you know, defined, clearly defined. And one of them asked him, how would you, after he spoke to them for a while, one person raised their hand, and he says, how would you describe your political philosophy? And he said, thought about it for about 15 seconds. He said, I'd have to call it radical Catholic. And that's part of the basis. But then it was, that was part of it, but then he learned so much more through his ecumenical exploration, and that was to every kind of church and church group and belief, because they all wanted to talk to him. I mean, the Krishnas loved him, different groups, and we spent some time with them in Boston and New York, and I remember every once in a while we'd kid each other about different things, but we were down in a basement, and we had to drink the water from their altar or something. He'd always look at me, and I'd have to drink more. And we'd do that, but then at the end, when they were, like, really dancing and chanting, and they can get really going, like some real, you know, some real evangelical groups, they could really become buzzed. And they were jumping, and I later said, you know, you scared me a little bit, brother, because I could feel you starting to jump next to me. And I was kidding, of course, but they loved him and put flowers on him, and he would take on appearances of what they were looking for when he was with these various groups, especially with groups like that, because it was so colorful with the flowers and the things they were putting on him. And he would go along with whatever it was because he was a good sport, not because he believed in that, but he believed that there was nothing wrong with sharing it. Then you got into his, you know, he did a lot with yoga and learning, you know, from the Eastern religions or spirituality. And that really became part of his later life, his basis for how he would get his center often and keep it. So he used yoga a lot. And so I think it's this combination of things that allowed him to believe in what the human mind and spirit could do when it wanted. And he controlled his own very well, but he would do things like, you know, there are many examples where he would lay hands and cure some people of some simple things. And he didn't used to like it to publicize it because people think he was a freak. But, you know, he did things. I once broke an ankle that I didn't have money to go to the doctor for and let it heal, and then I re-injured it a few months later. And I remember him doing his little work with the hands that he taught some of us to do, and it worked very, very well. And he taught me to do that, and I've done it a few times, including when my youngest son was an infant in the hospital, and they were going to, he was a week old, and they wanted to do surgery on him. And I spent that night doing these things to him that I had learned from Caesar. And by the next day, I didn't care what the reason was when they said he was okay and we could take him home. I didn't care if I had credit for it or not. But you believed in what the human spirit could do, what the human mind and body could do. And he was able to combine, make that, build that into his makeup.
Okay. Now, one of the things that I think is very, very important to understand about Caesar's power and also about his character was his humility. Where did that come from, and what did that do for him?
You know, I don't know exactly where it came from, but I know that he never spoke of it, and I never asked him about it. But I know, and in one case only that I know of, his nephew Henry Aguilar. We were on summer of 75. 1,000-mile march from Tijuana to Salinas, then Sacramento, back down the Central Valley to La Paz. And in the middle of that, there was a group of us traveling with him. And one night, Henry told me years later that one night during that time, he was with his uncle, and his uncle said to him something about, you know, the hardest part in this role I play is to maintain the humility. So he mentioned it, and I'd never heard him say it to anybody else. He never said it to me, but that one mention told me that what I thought was the case was the case, but he didn't talk about it. He just did it. And I, as I said earlier, I never knew him to betray the humility. He could be tough. He could be a tough negotiator, tough taskmaster, but he never said, I'm in any way, shape, or form, don't you know I'm Cesar Chavez, so I know this, or I'm saying that, or I need this, or I want this, or you should let me do this because I'm who I am, I'm important. He never played the self-importance card.
Okay. Now what would you say is the core, the source of Caesar's strength?
One second, Ray.